No one lived in this hut, but someone had. Had had possessions, his treasures displayed. Had gone away, or died. Died in the mine. Was forgotten, or was commemorated by the evidence of these objects left or placed in the hut. Mine workers had been coming out from these places for a long, long time, almost as long as the mines had existed. She read the brass arm plaque. It said, Boss Boy.
A passage from Nadine Gordimer's latest novel called July's People. Gordimer has been writing about her country, South Africa, since the 1950s. Most of her stories carry a strong political current. Politics, she says, move in every South African's daily life. Gordimer says her novels and short stories have changed with shifts in political attitudes there. Once, she says, whites and blacks thought all that was needed in South Africa was a loosening of apartheid laws. Now many have come around to a once radical opinion that the color barrier is integral to the whole social and economic order in South Africa. That change has become part of her novels, a change that is also reflected in the pressure on South Africa's writers from their government.
How shall I put it? The ceiling of censorship has to be raised in accordance with a change in society. For instance, in 1960, a book of mine was banned because it showed a very close friendship and a very easy mixing between a black man and a white man. It would never be banned today. This is an area where control has been lost, so to speak. People now, if they're determined to have friendships like that, will have them and pursue them. Also, that was regarded as part of the whole 50s feeling that there was a liberal solution. Where does the liberal solution begin? It begins in mixing, in social mixing. So censorship would crack down on that. Once the blacks themselves have rejected the liberal solution, which they have done now, and have said, look, friendship is all very nice, that non-racial groups and societies and discussion clubs and political parties are fine, but if you haven't got a vote, if it doesn't give a vote to a black man, it's pretty useless. The situation changes. The dangerous thoughts are no longer social mixing and friendships. The dangerous thoughts now are collaboration in liberatory movements, underground liberatory movements, between black and white. For instance, at the moment, there have been, and there are, a lot of young people, mainly young people, but some older people, whites as well as blacks, in detention, who are trade union workers. Well, what happened is that a lot of young people, especially young people, white people at universities, who felt extremely frustrated, there's no political party which is not segregated. They don't want to belong to a white political party. So they look for an area where they can work for change within a constitutional framework. And many of them, law students, social science students, when they leave university, have gone into trade union organization with blacks. Because if blacks, after being industrialized for close on 100 years now, have never had any experience of unions, it's quite a thing suddenly to be plunged into the organization of unions. I think that if you were to write a book now about the organization of trade unions, and you showed what is the truth, which is that trade unions, of course, are a form of political action, a novel that would seem to encourage that view probably would attract the censors today, because it's an area where people may be roused by what is written to action.
You have a tendency to write about areas in which people are roused to action. Do you plan one that might include is that subject?
Hadn't thought of it until I'm talking about it to you today. Who knows?
I'm curious, in your latest novel, July's People, you project to a time in which the white minority is put down by a revolution. Apart from that being your scenario, your setting for your story, and the ideas you wanted to talk about, is that something you believe will happen?
As an imaginative writer, I explore what is there. It's a kind of mediumistic function that I think an imaginative writer has. That you are tuning in to the vibrations and the the waves of what goes through people's minds, of the way that they are turning. July's People, to me, is an exploration of the present in terms of what could be a not-too-distant future. Because the kind of thing that happens in July's People, the protracted urban warfare between black and white, guerrilla fighting in the agricultural areas of the country. In other words, a war like the Rhodesian War. The Rhodesian War was happening on our borders. On the other side, in South Africa, we have Mozambique. The Portuguese felt absolutely in control there. And then in 74, there was the fall of the white regime there. And in the streets of Johannesburg, shortly after that, I saw a sight that obviously registered in my mind and somehow helped to make this book a couple of years later. Because in the streets of Johannesburg, outside an office where people applied for temporary residence as some refugees, were these white Portuguese refugees. There they were, dressed more or less in their beach clothes, the gay sort of clothes that people wear who live always in a seaside resort, bewildered. There were their cars, any vehicle they could have found, with a strange conglomeration of goods that people who can never believe they're going to have to pack up, pile up when they do have to. You know, refrigerators and radios and bird cages and hobby horses and all sorts of paraphernalia from a settled middle-class life that you think is going to go on forever. So the seeds of this kind of happening are already there in southern Africa. They are certainly there in South Africa as well as they were in what is now Zimbabwe and in Mozambique. So my scenario is, tragically, it's not so remote. I wish that one could be sure, one could hope that justice would come to South Africa and a new regime without this interim protected and terrible period of war that probably will come.
South African writer Nadine Gordimer.